Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I haven't thought for a while how much that opening sucks.
That's good.
The Drew and all the different Loveline.
But your nasal drone rings through and just carries it.
Yeah, it's bad. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And tonight we have Rise Against. Good to see you guys.
Good to see
thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Ban is from Chicago. Tim and Brandon here to start. And then Joe and Chris are going to come in and do a little round robin action. The band just got back from Australia or New Zealand or both.
How long were you there for? We were there for about...
Almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, almost 2 weeks.
Everybody, by the way, every single time we have a guest, somewhere in the first 15 seconds, I hear Engineer Anderson, who's always ironically potted way up, yell, "Turn the guest up!" Which scares the S out of everybody.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what that was.
But no one else hears it except us here in the studio, which we appreciate that, Anderson.
I thought it was some sort of fire drill.
Right. Make love to that microphone. So, you know, I've never been to Australia. Everyone says you have to go. Like, that's everyone's take when
I
they
concur.
Go.
You definitely got to go.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Do I have to go to New Zealand?
New Zealand's more of like the nature aspect of like the beauty of that area. You know what I mean? It's just a beautiful area. But Australia is where it's at. It's kind of like Canada, but with more sun, I think.
And you have to go because the people or just the size of the place or the Great Barrier Reef, which I would like to see.
We unfortunately didn't see a lot of like the wildlife and like the, you know, all the great natural areas, but the people there were amazing, you know, so cool, so polite.
You know, you know what they have at the Great Barrier Reef, Drew? Mm. The giant clam.
Yes, they do.
Clams.
Huge.
Trash can sized clams. I'm not kidding, like 300-400 pounds.
See, the clam went out of vogue before
you
guys
don't
born.
Know from giant clams.
Apparently,
you eat clams. Clams eat you.
They eat. Divers get caught in them
they get
every
their
day.
Foot caught
well,
in.
The clam bites them.
That's what we. Every show I watched growing up, either if someone was on land, they ended up in quicksand,
yep.
And if they went out in the ocean, the giant clam came down on their foot.
Yep.
And then people don't think there is such a thing. There is such a thing as a giant clam.
We've been grossly misled.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't they have them in fish tanks anymore, bubbling and opening and closing?
Once in a while, you go to a restaurant, you see the giant clam shell. I always love the king crab when it's up on the wall.
It's huge. You have an 8-foot arm span.
Yeah, but you know what sucks? And then the one that shows up on your plate is the size of the dinner salad plate. And you're like, hey, look at this. Look at what I got to sit underneath the king of all crabs and eat this little sand crab.
Remember the giant
they should
clams
put a,
too.
You know what they should do? If I had a seafood restaurant, here would be my thing. The one on the wall, the one on plate, always has to be bigger than the one on the wall. We'll put a small one on the wall, and then we'll put king crab under it, and then everyone will get a crab and go, look, it's bigger than that one.
No, like I said, the sand crab goes on the wall.
Yeah, sand crab. No. Pubic lice.
Oh,
the crab.
Perfect.
The pubic crab up on the wall. Perfect. And then I serve the Alaskan king crab. Everyone's looking at the pubic crab going, oh my God, I'm going to eat the mother of all crabs. That's smart. All right, write that down. Somebody write that down.
I got it.
All right, you
million-dollar idea.
Yeah. We're going to hear something off of Siren Song of the Counterculture, name of the CD. I think, you guys are going to be at the Henry Fonda Theater out here on February 10th.
Yep.
Ever do the Henry Fonda before?
Yeah, I put there once last year with Anti-Flag. Yep.
It's a nice nice little old theater. It's on Sunset, right?
Hollywood.
Or is that Hollywood?
Hollywood, I think, is it?
We lived our whole life.
We're from Chicago. So.
Yeah, it's right in the heart of Hollywood. And we'll hear a couple of songs from the band, take some calls, do all that stuff. All right, anything else we're missing?
Mm.
What's going on? Any questions for us?
No, we're just stoked to be here, man.
You're cool?
Yeah.
You're glad you've heard the show?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's rock. Here it is, everybody. Yeah, get it on. Break it down. Sarah?
Yes.
Sarah, you're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a question. I've known this guy for about 3 years, and we used to date, and we're kind of thinking about getting back together. And I know that before, when we used to date, he said something about that he had warts on his penis. And so that was kind of a factor as far as ever having, like, intercourse with each other, because I was afraid that maybe if I did, I might get something like that. And I was just wondering about that.
Have you ever had an abnormal pap smear yourself?
Yes.
Okay, so that means you probably already have the warts.
Hmm?
Well, we never had intercourse.
Oh, someone else,
now,
man.
Do you have abnormal... Did anybody ever have intercourse with you?
Yes.
Okay, whoever that was.
Really?
Warts are very common, Sarah.
That just means Drew has warts.
Very
Every
common.
Time I hear that, I just picture. I look at a giant wart. I look at you,
sitting
I see a wart
talking.
With glasses.
Speaking.
Yeah, speaking, but with glasses.
Well, thank you.
See, I work the other angle with my ladies. If you don't have sex with me, you're going to get warts. They're not smart enough to do the math.
You have to do a blackboard out.
They just hop right on.
But Sarah, if you've had abnormal pap smears, you may already have the virus. You may want to check with your doctor about that.
Well, what?
That doesn't mean you should never be exposed to another one.
Had an abnormal pap smear.
I've never slept with him is the thing.
I know, but...
You could have slept with someone else
Yes,
before.
The warts are exceedingly common. Most of your friends have the wart virus.
Not most.
Okay. Most.
Not most.
Half.
You always say this. You're so convinced of this that I won $100 from you, and by the way...
I paid you.
I know.
Yeah.
But getting $100 from...
I went across the street.
Dr.
Remember?
Drew is like getting a rope toy away from a pit bull. I mean, it takes like a bullet and a taser. I mean, even when the dog is dead, you have to get a flat bar and there's a pry its jaws open. And the fact that Drew gave me $100 for not having warts means I am wart free.
Yeah, I couldn't prove there were warts. I still know they got to be there. He had a stunt penis put on that day. I know
That's
it.
That's right.
I know it.
All right.
But listen, Sarah, you're right that you could easily get the wart virus. Wearing a condom will reduce the risk substantially, but not take it away completely. Just because you probably already have the wart virus doesn't mean you should be exposed to another one necessarily. And some of the wart viruses are associated with cervical cancer, some not so much. But the big issue is to try to protect yourself any way you can and realize these are very, very, very common.
True. Because relax. Sarah, how many? She's from Arkansas. She didn't have warts.
I'm actually from Iowa.
Oh, then that's come on, Anna. I told you.
Well, first off,
she has warts.
No difference, by the way. Arkansas, Iowa.
It's the same state, isn't it?
It is. I thought there were just cities in the same great state of Iowa. But wait a minute. How many guys have you been with?
Maybe six.
Yeah.
Ooh,
now, first off, you know there's no 20-year-old chick.
Yeah. What's the number?
Who's got it rounded down to somewhere between 8 and 11?
Exactly. It's around there. I haven't been with a lot of people.
What's the number?
Well, it's higher than six.
It's
we know that.
7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's probably more in the 10 7. Range. More in the 10
probably
range.
Probably around in 10. Yeah. I'm
Sarah.
Not sure.
Sarah, stop with the around stuff. How many? You know how many? Just tell us.
Just make it a baker's dozen.
No, I really don't.
All right. Are you orgasmic during intercourse?
With some people.
All right. Very evasive. Look, you must be attractive, but over the radio that doesn't translate, so I'm going to cut you loose. All right? All right. This is what I can always tell good-looking women, because you have to pry every answer out of them, because that's how it works. Because people just don't, people don't go, hey, who do you know at the party? And they go, I don't know. And the guy just will keep standing there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go, hey, listen, bitch, take a hike. Or give me a cold one or something, would you? Just please walk backwards. I don't want to look at your ass. Please. Guys never do that. The hot chicks, they just stay with it. They stay with them. But over the radio, you can tell they're pain in the ass. But, that's how you know they're hot.
She doesn't get a chance to work her magic on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You know why? If I was going to do, I may just do this.
Yeah.
I may just open up. Drew doesn't even know what I'm going to do yet. I may open up one of these sex phone lines, right?
Yeah.
And instead of having my chicks do that thing where it's like, I'm so hot for
you.
You're
going to blow them off.
Oh, I miss you. Yeah. I'm going to have the ones, they're hot because they're horrible at the sex thing,
well, no,
and they're not that interested, really. Hello?
Whatever.
Who is this? Yeah, how about you diddle your bean fry? I'm not going to do that. Who the hell is this? Oh, man, she must be hot.
You're not bitchy enough.
Yeah, it's really
Adam, you're not.
Really?
That's how bad it gets.
Really?
Even trying, you're not as bad.
Yeah, but the point is they're so hot, And that's how you know they're hot. they give horrible. They provide a horrible sexual service. That's how you know they're hot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a truly hot chick would never go, I was just thinking of you. take your pants. Oh, you're making me like super hot chicks don't get hot when guys do stuff like beat off on a sofa.
I don't see why not.
Are your sweatpants down around your slippers? Oh, you're making me hot. Really? That's a hot chick.
Scary enough, no women are turned on by that.
I was going to say.
I know,
which
but
ones
it,
are?
None of them are. None of them are. We have a much better chance of finding one that's not hot being turned on by that. I'm just saying, that would be good, very realistic.
Yeah, that's good.
You could probably find that woman in Arkansas. You could probably find that woman.
I could?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe Iowa.
I'm going to start this service up. All right. Chelsea?
Yes.
You're 22?
Hello, everybody. Yeah.
What's up?
I just had a real quick question about birth control.
Yep.
Is it okay to still take it after the expiration date?
No, that's why there is an expiration date.
That's what I thought, but it just expired, so.
Yeah, but
it's one thing if you're trying to deal with a sinus infection and you're taking some tetracycline, a macrolide diet or something like that, like a Zithromax. But this is something that she's got, it has to be as effective as ever.
Yeah.
If there's any chance of there being less effectiveness.
Yeah, but that chance is going to come in 2 or 3 weeks. You know what I mean?
When she's having...
Well, look, here... Okay, let me just say something. This is a horrible, litigious society we're now living in that's run by the pussy lawyers and the ACLU. It's got everyone so freaked out, I don't know who to believe anymore.
Right,
when something says it's expired, I figure, well, that can't expire on the day they say it's going to expire, otherwise they'd be liable for it.
Right.
They have to go a month earlier... Then, so I actually tack on a month any expiration dates I see.
Yep.
Right?
Reasonable.
Yeah? I mean, maybe it's 2 months. You know, birth control pill that says you can't take it after, you know, the 1st of January is probably good for 3 months. Maybe it's lessened by 2%, and that's enough to get you into trouble.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And something that
needs... But 2%, you should know it.
Right. Something that's 99.98% effective, and you drop that down to 97%.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about thousands of babies.
Yeah, but if you're in Vegas, you'll take those odds.
In a pinch, yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, you're saying. Yeah.
All right. And what stuff's bad? Because I take everything after the date expires.
I've seen some horrible reactions to even Tylenol, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are lightweights.
Yeah. Mm.
Those aren't me.
Penicillins.
I take those. Mm. Oh, penicillins, really?
Tetracyclines.
I got stuff. Once in a while, I clean out my medicine cabinet by eating everything in there.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
Why dispose it? Why
cocktail? What's this?
I do that. So I'm like, honey, I'm going to start in the pantry and I'm going to make my way to the medicine cabinet. I clean out everything in the pantry, just dumping it in my face. And then I go to the medicine cabinet. I take everything in the medicine
cabinet.
It's
not going to be wasteful.
Oh, man. I ate some Vagisil from like 1989 last week. Horrible. It's like weird. It tastes like bad margarine.
You know, we have...
I should probably just start throwing some of it out. But, you buy it, you eat it.
I have triplets, and when it was babies and diapers everywhere, I brushed my teeth with Desitin. Delightful. Delightful.
I'd like to just put a story together, coffee table book of weird things.
That you brush your teeth with?
I'd do celebrities. Weird stuff celebrities have ingested. Because I brushed my teeth with some sort of vaginal cream that was in my sister's purse once.
Nice.
Well, my sister... Well, let me tell you about the Corollas. We didn't live an extravagant lifestyle. We didn't have two tubes of toothpaste in the entire goddamn house. There was one. And my sister decided she was going to bring it with her, like, to school or something, brush her teeth, you know, after lunch. Now that I think about it, she's probably smoking cigarettes or something and was going to, make out with her adult-age boyfriend at the time and wanted to freshen up. So I said, well, where's the toothpaste? And she said, it's in my purse. And I just reached in a purse and pulled out the first thing that, came in a tube that was in there. And I just happily brushed away.
How'd it taste?
Tastes bad.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah. My buddy Ray wiped his face with a Tux medicated hemorrhoid pad once, thinking thinking it was one of those clear cell pads.
That's Beauty Secrets, you know.
And Jimmy Kimmel wiped his ass.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. his wife was leaving around those, moist towelette. No, but first you had left around these moist towelette things on top of the toilet. I guess you used it, you know. Jimmy's pretty messy.
He has to finish all that hair and stuff.
Number two is a rough outing for him many times. And so he doesn't have time to, you know, take a full bath after each number two. So he was using the moist towelette, I guess, and then went down in the downstairs bathroom after getting used to the moist towelette and reached for something he thought was the moist towelette, which was sitting on the toilet. It turned out it was one of those Pine Sol impregnated Mr. Clean. Now
ammonia filled.
Now with Clorox bleach, just wiped his ass with a bunch of pine and bleach and ammonia. That's painful.
Flew off the toilet.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. That's a good time. So, but that's how you learn.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. Yeah. Andy?
Yes. How you doing, guys?
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
I originally had a question I was going to call. Me and my wife have been married for 7 years, and I still go pretty quick, like mm-hmm. When we first met.
Yeah, that's you.
That's your
rhythm.
How fast are you? How many minutes?
I don't know. It's like usually about, I'd say, five.
Yeah, that's you.
5-6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's you.
But then, what got me to call today, though, why are you poking fun at the military? I thought you liked the military.
Are you in the military?
Yeah, I'm in the Air Force.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
I like what the military does. Don't get me wrong.
I know. That's what I, because I hear you talking. I listen to you every night. That's what I say, too. I like your guys' show.
Thanks.
I listen to it every night when I come home from work.
Where are you calling from?
In Ohio.
Where?
At Wright-Patterson.
Oh, glad I asked.
It's near Dayton.
Patterson Air Force Base, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's what I say about, this is the enlisted guys, not the officers.
Well, tell him.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell him.
Okay.
I'm looking at you, Drew.
He's not listening.
You don't have to look at the screen.
No, but he wasn't really...
Andy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let me explain my feelings about this. Guys who go out of high school and go into the military are usually bad students, for the most part. And they go in there because they're not college-bound. And usually it's not something that's all that noble. Most of the time it's just, my options aren't very good. They're junior college, which is the coward's way. And then there's working for my uncle's sofa factory, and I don't want to do that. I can go in here and learn something, do a little travel. That's fine. I don't think most people join the military because they're that patriotic or they're that brave, although there are a fair amount of those people. Most of them join because they were crappy students in high school, and they don't have any alternatives.
So far in my career, I've been in for 8 years, about. And, there is a lot of dirt bags, but a lot of them, there is a lot of people that do still join because, they have real deep roots in America, and they
Do you think that population is increasing or decreasing now with the war?
I've noticed myself since September 11th that a lot more people, their reason for joining is to, help. They want to help their country.
September 11th did, for the military, like what Top Gun did for the Air Force, that's a recruiting campaign.
And that's the reason,
tragic
that was,
one.
That's the reason somebody would say they would join, you would never say, I joined because I'm a crappy student.
Yeah.
You'll say, I joined because patriotic.
We talked to them.
They do admit that?
They joined because they had nowhere else to go.
Well, look, here's my point. Here's where it's going to turn happy here, Andy. So, are you in the Air Force?
Yeah, I'm in the Air Force.
Yeah, because I don't want to be strafed tonight while I'm beating off the Cinemax.
In fact, you've got a few actions you'd like to take on some of our callers, as I recall.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call in some strikes, if you don't mind. And here's the deal. I pay a lot in taxes. I don't want a whole air campaign, but a couple of strikes now and again, just as a little something back for guys paying the kind of taxes I'm paying. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I'm not talking about bunker busters or anything. I just say get one of those A-10 Warthogs with the spent uranium Gatling guns and just pump a couple hundred rounds in some select neighbors. Uh-huh. Oh, what a gig. All right, so here's all I'm saying. The coward's way and the lazy man's way is they go to junior college. Now, here's what I mean. If you're a crappy student, your choices after high school are military or junior college or stepdad's sofa, pretty much, right?
Right, right.
The ones who go, you can break it down a little bit more, though, instead of military in general.
Hold on.
Lean towards the other services.
Yeah.
Army.
Yeah, Army.
You got another question, Weirdo?
Bring it up.
Hurry up. Hurry up. Get out of my face right now. Push. Push. Push, you nasty dang.
We want to puke.
Yeah. That was during the delivery of their second child. But no, here's what I'm saying.
From a boot camp came on the show.
No. Here's what I'm saying. You go to junior college, what do? You you learn to hate the man. You learn to hate the country. You kick the hacky sack, and you smoke weed, and you eat, and you get fat, and you do nothing. You go to the military, some black guy picks up a trash can at 6 a.m. and bangs a wooden spoon in it. You get up, you do some push-ups, you climb a rope. They forge you into a man.
And that's what we need. Bigotry here.
That's what we need. And you know,
good for you.
You know, people don't realize the reason you're a horrible student in high school is because you're lazy and you're weak and you're not assertive and you're not applying yourself. You need to get your ass kicked. Yeah. I mean, especially guys. Yeah. Think about all the guys you know, you got the friends with the sons, they're fat, they're lazy, they don't look up when you walk in the room, they're glued to the TV set.
No.
Those guys need an ass kicking.
Oh, yeah.
Don't guys need a little ass kicking?
Not only do they need ass kicking, I think guys, young males, benefit by putting themselves on the line on behalf of their peers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To put their body in harm's way to benefit a group of other men that they like.
Yeah.
I think that really
makes
sense.
Or camaraderie.
It's a comradeship. I watched that when my kids were playing tackle football. All their peers suddenly looked you in the eye more and were more direct.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah. We had a whole nation of pussies. That's all. So I'm saying,
Speaking of which, either go to college or
go to the military, but don't go to junior college.
Did you get a weird email from David Alan Greer tonight?
No, but I don't look at my email.
Okay.
All right.
He was upset with our conversation last night.
To do with what?
Ben Stein, and we were talking about...
Oh, yeah. Ben was bashing on the black man?
Well, no, we were talking about how good the country was, I think.
Oh, and he didn't like that?
And he said, you know, a couple of 40-year-old white guys up there.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, David, sorry, buddy. You decide which Porsche you're going to roll in and come on down and do the show. I know. It's got to be rough.
So basically, next time we step out of line, we want David to step on in.
Shut up!
I think syphilis is eating his brain. I really think he's going insane. He may be going insane. Last few times I've seen him, he scared me.
I like a girl with a big butt, but fruit in the middle. It's juicy, it's sweet, because it's fruit. And in the middle, shaka-daka.
Yeah.
Scarier than that, huh?
All right. Let's hear a song. Yeah?
Can we
hear a song
great
for Rise
idea.
Against?
Great
yeah, we
idea.
Got it. We got a couple minutes.
Good.
Come on, Anderson.
Relax.
We're doing fine. 2 minutes late for nothing. Where are we going?
And
we're
by
just
the way,
coming
what,
back.
What's the difference between 2 and 5, anyway?
It's a good point. All right. Michelle, how you feeling?
Yeah.
Feeling
right.
Good?
Yeah.
You got the first song queued up?
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Give It All. Yeah. Rise Against in studio tonight. Tim and Brandon in studio. Then Chris and Joe are going to come through here. We will take ourselves a quick little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tim McElrath is here tonight, along with Brandon Barnes.
I can't believe you pronounced that right.
Thank you.
That's the first person that's pronounced my name right in about 6 months.
Really? Well, I cherish it, because I'll now screw the next 11 up. Rise Against in studio tonight. We'll hear something else off of Siren Song of the Counterculture. Did you fart, Drew, or are you trying to get a look at the screen?
No.
All right.
That was you'll know.
A fart move.
You'll know.
That's true.
An aggressive fart.
That's right. The folks down at Arrow will know, too, if Drew breaks wind.
If I so care, yes.
Yes. All right. Where was we? 1-800-LOVE-191. Unwritten Law in here tomorrow night. I don't think they've been in here for a while, have they?
Oh, about a year, I bet. Maybe more. I've got a T-shirt there sitting on my counter.
Really? Well, the point is... It hasn't moved in here. Yeah, but it's not in your car.
No.
So that's how you know it's over a year.
Yeah. Right.
Because the T-shirt will stay in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stay in a trunk indefinitely.
Indefinitely.
Right.
It's like a mummified back there.
Yeah, what's the impulse to even throw it in the trunk? You can't ride with the T-shirt on the passenger seat? You know what I mean? Once it gets in the trunk, it's not getting into the house.
No, you know what it is? It's like, I should take this thing inside. I should take it inside. And then, all of a sudden, you're carting four people around somewhere. Now it's in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
You just make it space. Boom. And that's the end of it.
You know what you need? You need guys to work on your house. Because you got guys who work on your house, you then immediately hand over all the T-shirts and knapsacks and the swag and the hats, and then they all show up wearing entire ensembles that were built by Mr. Blackwell over here. And you sometimes you forget about. You see some college you lectured at, or some band that was in here that never to be heard of again.
Brings it all back.
All right. And a lot of them don't speak English, so you get that. That 50 and Foxy T-shirt and put it on them, or gas grass or ass. Nobody rides for free. Yeah, I gave my maid's husband a masturbation. It's not a crime shirt. He wore it to work. They made him turn it inside out. You know what I mean?
That's rude.
Well,
cruel.
I didn't tell the guy to wear it. Where it is, you know, that's Casual Friday kind of wear.
Your people that don't speak English, don't give them obscene.
Well, sure. he's a high-powered attorney. You thought he would have known.
You're right.
That's the uniform over there.
I'm just saying, if I was working in Mexico and I got a nice fitting T-shirt which said something on it, I didn't know, I didn't care, I'd just wear it out.
Yeah.
All right. That may happen.
Oh, yeah.
My career could take a turn. Natalia?
Uh-huh.
What's up, baby doll? You're 17.
Yeah, I have a question. I don't get my period every month. I get it like four times a year. Mm-hmm. And you know how girls, when they don't get their
Oh boy, I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
Huh?
By the way, all period talk sounds like that to me. I can be riding with my wife in the car, and she goes, you know, sometimes you have spotting. My brain just starts shutting stuff out. So I can't tell if that's actually me or that was the phone line.
I'm not sure.
Soon I will just hear the sound of air passing over a wing. Until the period talk is done.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to sound like. Natalia? You there?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, is something up with you? Were you battered or abused?
You definitely have that sound in your voice.
Sorry, I'm getting over a cold.
Yeah, no, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
Go ahead.
No, is everything okay at the home? Any problems?
No, everything's fine.
Oof.
Something's going on. What happened? Where's your dad?
In the other room.
Mm-hmm. And that's your biological father?
No.
Oh, shocker.
There we go. See, on other shows, you wouldn't have to ask, where's your dad? They say in the next room. You wouldn't have to keep pursuing. See, on this show, we realize you must keep going. This is an interrogation more than it is a conversation.
Well, it's pulling a tooth.
So, where's your real dad?
I've never met my real dad.
How old were you when he left?
Before I was born. Like, my dad now,
like, he was in the emergency room when I was born and everything, so.
He was.
You were born in an emergency room?
Well, the rooms where the mom, you know.
Yeah, he was the janitor. And later hooked up with mom. So this guy's been around since before you were born.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who was dad?
I have no idea.
She never talks about him.
No.
And your dad, I don't want to call him stepdad. Wait, you should get a better name than stepdad if you're around before the kid was actually born. Do you know what I mean?
Drad.
Drad.
I don't know if that's a better name.
Yeah, that sounds like you should wear a cape.
Yeah, that's a dumb
Drad. Drad is coming to the bridge.
Super
All
Drad.
Hands on deck. Drad.
Super Drad.
Super Drad.
Super Drad.
All right, so Drad is a good guy.
Yes.
All right. Everything's fine. Mom's good?
My mom died.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay. Natalie, by the way.
Before you were born?
It'll be 6 years on the 20th.
I was taking a stab. It's 6 years before you're born, or?
No, after.
After
you're born.
I'm sorry.
I was 11 years old.
Okay.
What did she die
I'm
of?
Sorry. Look, I'm not obstetrician. I can't even pronounce it. Obstetrician.
What did she die of?
She had cancer in her spine.
Yee.
Okay, well, that may be the kind of trauma we're hearing here.
You have mom dying at 11 is horrible.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah. And then Drad just raised you by himself?
Yeah.
And that's why she has no one to ask about her period questions. And then, of course, when she asked her dad, he heard
the win. Yeah. All right. So
what's the question?
So go ahead.
I just want to know, I don't know how to put this. I don't know if I'd be pregnant or not because I don't get my period every month. And, I've already gone through, the symptoms, and I went to go check, and, they said I wasn't. So I'm not really sure.
A couple questions. Why don't you use birth control?
The birth control, I have problems with them. The patch made my eyes, all black, and I was hyperventilating and stuff.
Okay, but you've got to have to use condoms. What do you do to protect yourself?
Yeah, we use condoms sometimes. Okay.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
The rest of the time you just get pregnant. And then, you can't tell when you're pregnant when you don't have regular periods. You have to keep getting tested or use fastidious, meticulous birth control.
Mm.
And are you heavy?
Uh-huh.
How much do you weigh?
Oh, I weigh 150.
No. Okay.
Not heavy enough?
You have irregular periods. Yeah. Do you have polycystic ovaries?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
How tall are you?
5'6".
Mm. And so you have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
18.
Mm. All right. Is he a good guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Use better birth control so you don't have to be so anxious about being pregnant, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, baby doll. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I we were hearing something in her voice. I think it was that mom died. Mm. At
I would have picked
age.
11, yeah. 11 is what she sounded like.
Well, we're not psychics. We're actually better than psychics because those guys are phony. It's a bunch of gay guys who mislead straight women out of their money. That's basically what's... Why are they all gay, Drew?
Not
all
of them.
Do you have to have something in your ass in order to tap into other people's psyche?
Rasputin wasn't gay. And that was his whole thing.
Really?
That's all he did.
All he did was nail chicks.
Yes.
I would argue that was compensation.
Oh, could be.
For feelings. He had homosexual feelings, so he just decided he had to hump every chick he saw.
Rasputin, Mesmer, did the same thing.
Mesmer? Oh, Mesmer nailed a lot of chicks?
Mesmerize.
Well.
Mesmerize them and then.
Here's the thing. I mean, your first order of business, if you have any kind of psychic power at all, is to nail chicks and then second to get money. You know what I mean? As a guy...
Well, no, wait a minute. That's guy's motivation under all circumstances. So why not here, too?
Use your powers. Like you say to a guy... You say to a guy, hey, if you could turn invisible, what would you do? Just going to the locker room, right?
Women's locker room.
Women's locker room, right.
Yeah. And next?
You say, but I'm just saying, if you said to a chick, you can be invisible, what are you going to do? She's like, just probably watch TV. they're not ambitious that way.
No, think about it, guys. First thing, go in the women's locker room.
Go in the women's locker room.
Number two?
Women's locker room.
Three?
Women's locker room. Women's Four. Locker room is the top 19.
Okay. And 20?
20 invisible. Is there another place chicks get naked besides the locker room? Yeah,
then the bank.
Oh, yeah, then steal money. That's right. All right, I'm sorry, yeah. Number one through 19, women's locker room. Yeah. And number 20 is go to the bank and look for new chicks.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Eventually, you're going to need money.
When you have free rein on your priorities, it's very difficult.
Yeah. It'd be great. The chicks would be like in the women's locker room and just say, look at that box of Triscuits just floating in the air, one being pulled out every so often. Crumbs falling to the ground.
Turning into a bolus.
Turning into a ball. Turning into an orb that just seems to be floating in space. Wait a minute. I swear I heard a beer crack. All right. I don't even think women do. I don't think they have that.
Well, they don't have that looking gene. They don't have that.
Yeah, they don't. And that's why I never trust the gay guys, by the way, when they do they go like, "Hey man, must be great. You're gay. You get to go to a locker room and check out dudes." "Oh, please don't flatter yourself." It's like, "Come on, dude." And they're like, "No, we don't do that." They always do it because they know they'll freak us out. But you're not turned on by the male form. What about the 70 metric tons of porn you have in your apartment? Huh? How about that? Not new dudes. Yeah? No? Not. And why are you spending so much time at the gym, by the way? I mean, it's nonstop gym action if you're gay. Imagine the incentive, by the way.
You get the gym and the workout.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's all, you
the
know,
locker room and the
everyone
workout.
Feels like, everyone, first off, no gay guy is a home gym. No new dudes. Right. I think they all get the memberships to the gym. But think about this, there's this, like, I should go to the gym. I should work out. Jeez, I'm tired. You get to look at new chicks.
No, there's,
you'd be there.
You can walk around the locker room with the women.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
You'd be in, right?
Join up. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd be there every day, right? Wouldn't you? Of course. True. How many times a day?
I do split workouts.
Yeah. All right. 10 to noon, I work cardio. 2 to 4, I work lower body. And then midnight to 2 a.m., that's when I work back and delts.
They'd have to put a drinking fountain in the locker room.
Yeah, you just be in there.
In and out.
Oh, into the tubs, into the saunas.
All right, relax.
All right.
Let's take a break.
It'd just be great if we were gay, that's all.
Tomorrow morning, so many listeners, they're going to reevaluate their sexuality. They're going to wake up tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of incentives to being gay.
Whoa, better life.
We toured a band with 7 dudes in a van.
Yeah.
Our life would be a lot easier.
It'd be great.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, imagine that.
Seven
young males in a van.
Mm-hmm.
The stench and the fluids and
with a bed in the back.
Oh, if they were gay.
Humanity.
I think he likes it, actually. He's talking about he likes it.
If they were gay, the driver would hit like the wiper spray and semen would go all over the windshield. There would be that kind of debauchery going on in that van. You know what I'm saying? It'd be great to be gay. All right, let's focus on being gay.
All right, here we go.
All right. Rise Against in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
You were hamburger meat.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rise Against in studio tonight. Tim and Brandon in studio. Joe and Chris going to come in here in a couple of few. We'll hear something else off of Siren's Song of the Counter Culture. And back to the phones we go. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Olivia?
Yeah.
19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
When I was young, my dad used to beat my mom before they divorced when I was 2.
Perfectly
and he's also beat
normal,
my
perfectly
older
healthy. They beat your brother too?
Yes.
All right.
He's not from this country and it's allowed over there. So he went with that.
Oh, hold on. I got to guess.
We
can't judge.
Must be Norway. Sweden. Yes, Norway. I was thinking that.
Norway. Yeah, it's got to be Norway. It's got to be Norway. It's got to be Norway. Olivia, Norway. We're going Norway.
No, it's Iran.
Oh my God.
No way.
We can't judge. Drew, I felt like you were close to judging.
No, of course not. We can't judge. We can't.
Cultures are only different. They're none better, none worse.
But just different.
Some kill people with rocks. Others shoot their wives for adultery. No judging.
No judgment.
Everything's the same.
Some seal a vagina closed.
Hey, we're just as bad as they are.
Worse.
You're right.
Have you learned that?
Right. Because they don't judge. I mean, we don't. We shouldn't judge. Go ahead, Olivia.
Anyway, recently for the past week, I have thought about him sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when I get high. And when I'm not high, I think it's gross, and I don't know what to do about it.
High on pot?
Are you talking about your dad?
Yeah, on pot.
And who are we talking about here? You get sexual
on
thoughts
pot,
about...
On pop?
Yes.
You want to hop on pop when you're high on pot?
Maybe great, Buck.
I think she said her brother.
Oh, your brother?
Is it your brother or your dad that you think about?
It's my dad, and it's very violent.
You're a lesbian.
All right. Wow.
All right, well, here's the deal. When you have been exposed to violence in childhood...
if you got a little high, I know sometimes I'll have a few Mickey's Big Mouths, and I'll see my mom, and I'll be like, eh. You know, for an older woman, it's holding up, you know?
And,
we never were that close. It's not, you know...
Well, we're not that close either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's not, you know, it's different if he, you know, took you to the game every weekend and put you on his shoulders and everything. But if he's like, kind of, I haven't seen him that much.
There's something about trauma in childhood that it wires in a source of attraction in young adulthood. Mm-hmm. And usually it plays out in such a way as to make you attracted to people who are capable of the kind of violence that your dad perpetrated.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously behind that is really kind of attraction, you know, of course, to him. Now, you're on drugs. Sort of all bets are off. You're on drugs. All kinds of sort of wiring can re-expose itself.
I've been effed up before many times, as you know. Never enough to look at my dad that way.
No, it's your mom. See, the opposite sex one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. And so, anyway.
You want some, too, or? There's enough
also,
to go around.
I had another question as well. My boyfriend started watching porno at a very young age.
How old?
And he's continued to do it.
9 months.
How old was he? How old was he?
22 weeks.
No, he was about 13 or 14.
And he continues until today?
Yeah, he does. I told him I think he should mellow out.
It should burn out in about 90 years. 90 to 110 years, he'll burn out.
Well, he's 27.
Yeah.
That's 70 more years.
Yeah, about 70 more years. I prorate.
I told him to kind of chill out a little bit. And
no way.
He oftentimes can't come during sex in me. He has to physically jack himself off.
Yeesh. Mm. How often is he with his pornography?
I'm sorry?
How often does he see his pornography?
Lately, I think it's only been once a week, but it used to be 3 or 4 times a week.
Mm. And is his ability to have an orgasm improved?
Not really.
How do you know it's once a week?
Because I ask him.
Oh, go ahead and put a couple zeros behind that one. Well, look, I think you need to talk to him about sort of intimacy.
Does he wear a condom?
Yeah, I was on birth control, and I'm not now, but yeah, he does.
So he has to take the condom off?
And we haven't been doing it because his mom just died, and he's really messed up in his head, but that's how it's been for a while. We've been together for a year.
But he manages to jack off still, of course.
Yeah.
The condom, does he have to take it off and then work on himself?
Yeah, we'll have sex with the condom on, and then when he comes to the point where he just says, I can't do it like this anymore, then he'll take it off and jack
off. Well, he may be about the condom.
That may be more condom,
Try different types of condoms.
Okay.
All right. Hey, do they have condoms? I was thinking with different cultures and stuff, like one with like a turban at the end and one with like a...
There's kosher condoms.
Kufi at the end. Really?
Sure.
But I'm talking about hats, like a fez, you know, at the end. Like that would be the reservoir, like a fez. Well, you know, wherever country you're from, you would have the hat of your country at the end of your condom.
That is a great idea.
I think it's better. Great.
And thank God there's no longer the First World War Kaiser helmets. I mean, what are you going to do?
Some Prussian jumps on you and pokes a hole right through your back. Drew's right. I you know what? It takes a very big man to admit when Drew's right, and I'm doing it right now. Drew is right.
I mean, thank God.
I would like to...
Berets, the Bolos.
The Vikings.
No. Have that.
No.
See?
No, see, that's...
That's the point. That's so we evolved beyond that now, thank God.
Yarmulkes. That's an easy one. It's an easy one. All right, let me say this. I would like... Has anyone done a study between cultures? And I know it's... nearly impossible to judge, but cultures that beat the crap out of their kids routinely and then violent cultures.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they've done that math. Uh-huh. How about they go ahead and spread that around a little bit?
I know.
You know that word? If you really think about it, we're trying to make the world a nice... It's a big playground. Everyone's in it now. You know, it used to be all separated. You know, hey, they can't mess with us because there's an ocean between us and them, or the land expanse or some mountains. But now we're all in one big, huge sandbox. Uh-huh. It'd be nice to get people to, like, lay off the kids a little bit, and then they'll be able to play nice with our kids.
I guarantee if you look at the terrorists and those guys, you can see a hellacious childhood.
Really?
Every single one.
Well, we're, but do not judge. Impossible
to
judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
All right. Tim and Brandon are going to rotate out of here, and Joe and Chris are going to rotate in here from Rise Against. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. We did a little changing of the guard here for Rise Against. Joe Principe is here.
Yep. Uh-oh. Here we go. Let's see if you get mine right or not.
Chris.
Come on.
You can do it.
Think of a car.
Chassis. Chassis.
There you go.
Chassis.
Not too bad.
Yeah. I almost want to say, wow, there's some crazy last names in this band. What is up? Get Brandon Barnes back in here. And by the way, there's nobody goes by Sweet Pea or, you know, Master for F or any, you know what I mean? Don't you guys need some names?
Oh, we all got nicknames.
You're
actually
in a band. Yeah.
Oh.
We must.
Oh, he's got a nickname.
Yeah. I don't think cars have chassis anymore, by the way.
Yeah.
They're, the chassis was the frame.
That all sat on. It's all duct tape now.
It's all unibody. That's what I need to bring in, like a Larry Unibody. Get him in here. All right, where were we? We're going to play a song. We're going to have a good old time. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. Let's break it down.
I'm psyched.
Very excited.
Chris, yes. Are you psyched?
Good? I am very, very excited.
You pumped,
right,
Chris?
Hell yeah.
This is going to be great.
What's Chris's nickname?
Okay.
Skippy.
Skippy.
Skippy, really? You got a nickname?
Not really.
You know, here's the thing about a nickname. It's embarrassing to give yourself a nickname, but after you work it for a while and you meet new people, they won't know you gave it to yourself. So mine is Adam Huge Penis. It's a little bumpy at work, and sometimes, you know, around ladies and things like that. But it works. Drew, do you have anything? You don't have male friends.
Right, so I don't get
so you don't get, you don't get the nickname.
Rhino Schlong, no.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody, like all guys, if you take guys and they hang around each other long enough, they'll just nickname, or they'll even do the last name. They'll just call by last name.
Routine. Yeah, and then D-bags, the other, just...
Yeah, just, if you have a one-syllable last name especially, you'll get the last name. All right, you ready?
Here we go.
Jessica?
Yep.
What's up? How old are you?
I'm 14.
All right. What's going on?
First of all, I want to say, Drew, you're a passionate, passionate man. You've got passion seeping out of your pores.
Thank you, Jessica, for noticing. At 14,
he does. Yeah. What's up?
And Adam, sorry, you're a genius. And Rise Against, I heard one of your songs the other day. You're amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks, Jessica. You shall go far.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And let me just say this. I want to touch on that point Drew just brought up.
Schmooze.
Everyone's so scared about being called a kiss ass or brown noser. There's a reason you do it. It gets you places. Brown nosing, that's your ticket to the top. And look, it's not that it's not, you know, people they think they deduct points for a kiss ass. Oh, contraire, they like it. They don't know you're kissing ass. When you tell them their hair looks good or if you lost weight, they're narcissistic, so they think you mean it. So go ahead and kiss a little ass. I mean, we like Jessica a lot better than we did before she started kissing ass.
We love her.
We love you. We're all ears. Go ahead.
Awesome. I'm 14, and I'm really interested in guys who are older than me, and I don't know why.
Well, 14-year-olds often are that way. Are you actually doing anything with that attraction?
Well, I dated someone who was 21.
You understand that he's an a-hole. It's not the problem is not that you're attracted to him, but that he's when you're 21 and think about one of your peers dating a 14-year-old, you will vomit.
Well, yeah.
Not that somebody should vomit because they're dating you, but because it's just completely out of line.
Did you have sex with him?
No, I'm still a virgin.
Yeah.
All right. What did you do with him? Did you do something with him?
We made out, felt up. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Sort of weirder. You know, like we hear about these guys that, like, they're 21, they're dating a 14-year-old, and they didn't have sex, but they're sort of making out. I know,
Adam, in any kind of intimate physical encounter, kissing is terribly disturbing to you.
Ugh. Come on, buddy.
Sorry. So especially in this situation, we just,
I just mean it's if I can put a label on it if you're having sex with a minor. The idea that you guys are just sort of, you're like making out with her like you're 14 too.
right.
is somehow
it's
weirder.
Pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
All right, Jessica, anything you want to tell us about your family of origin?
No, we're like a perfect family.
All right. Do they know you're dating these guys?
No.
All right. Why'd you break up with this guy?
Because he... Sorry, I'm so sorry. He was having sex with a 28-year-old.
All right. How dare he?
Yeah. All right. So he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you find
Jessica
when you're 14 and you date
the F-bomb at 14.
Well, she stumbled over the F-bomb.
But I'm saying that was just like...
It got dropped, but it didn't detonate.
No, I know, but I mean, it came out so naturally. It's just like, 14? You describe that what your boyfriend was doing as that?
All right. Yeah, that's true, because it's screwing or whatever. Obviously, she's angry about it. So, Jessica.
Yeah.
Why don't you focus on a nice, 15-year-old? And hopefully find one who's angry and brutish and all that kind of stuff, and he seems older.
Well, I did. I tried. But
what happened?
He had a girlfriend.
How about just cool it? Jessica, what's the hurry here? Cool out. Are you fighting with your mom or something?
No.
Just cool down. Relax. You're 14. Lots of time. Take it easy. Focus on your studies. Go away to college. Lots of guys at college.
All right, but what do you do when your daughter's just sort of hell-bent on humiliating you by sowing her oats on the sofa with some old guy. You know
why do you think I was put those wall chains up in the basement?
Oh, that's for her.
Of course.
No, I thought that was for the boy. I didn't know.
Then we leave. Those go down. Those are temporary for the floggings.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? Like, if you tell him, look, no having sex, that's just going to get him to do it. You show him weird, propaganda films from the 50s. Mm-hmm. Or like, well, how do you slow him down? You know what I'm saying? It's got to be something. No, I'm not talking about talking to him. I'm talking about something in their food.
Oh,
it's got to be something you can put
first,
in their
food. First, I'd have her evaluated. I'm like, something's wrong.
If what?
If somebody's emotional behaving like that. I would like, if we're in our family, I'm like, hey, we got to get this checked out. Something's not right here.
Right. All right.
And whatever we got to do, whatever, it depends what the problem is.
All right.
Try to fix it. And then start creating, police state.
How's that work? Like ankle arrest bracelet, bars on the windows, that kind of stuff?
Sure.
Yeah? Cool. I mean, what do you do? Maybe you realize you can't do anything. You put them on birth control.
Sometimes you can't. You do that, and you just start taking stuff away from them.
All right. What if there was a pill that would slow that down without them knowing it? Would you give it to your daughter?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I like. He's a man. He has a lot of integrity about not having integrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a lot of people wouldn't have answered that honestly. Renee?
Yes?
You're 18?
Absolutely.
What's up?
Well, for the past couple weeks, my boyfriend and I have been having arguments or fights every day. And it's been putting a big strain on our relationship. And it's been about me getting really mad over little things that he says that I take offensively. And it's like, I know that there are some things that it's okay for me to get mad about, but how can I not get so mad?
What did you have to tell us specifically what happened.
Well, he likes to talk about how he doesn't like my religion, right? Because I'm Catholic, and he's always talking about how the Catholics are dogmatic and hypocritical, and I try to let it go a lot of the time, but it still gets to me,
Has he got anything going?
He's
not Jewish. Jewish guy would be so happy he was getting laid by a nice goyim that he'd never open his trap.
And you get violently angry with him over this?
No, not really violently. It's just to the point where I'll just get really irritated and just almost yell at him.
Why does he avoid that territory? It's sort of weird that
guys are stupid. What's his crappy religion? Does he have one, or is he an atheist?
He's kind of agnostic. He claims to be Protestant, but I've tried to explain to him that that's not really a thing of its own,
All right. Well, look, maybe this is a fundamental difference that can't be overcome. Are you guys deeply in love, or are you just sort of there because you're there?
I understand. Your question is it okay for me to get mad at my boyfriend when he does awful things to me? Yes, it's fine. Get mad at him. That's all right.
But young people argue a ton.
Over all kinds of things.
Over nothing.
Yeah. They have lots of energy.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like we're not. It fluctuates. It's like sometimes we're really deeply in love, and we talk about running off somewhere, or I'll talk about running off somewhere, and he'll be all practical about it and say, "Oh, well, we gotta wait. We gotta wait." And
how old is he?
Huh?
How old is he?
Oh, he's 19.
All right. I'm labeling this a non-question. We've got junkies who are on fire.
That's right.
This says junkie on fire. It's been a whole thing. 86 minutes, this poor guy. So he's probably out by now. Unless he really layered his clothing. But you know what I'm saying? Like, argue. I don't know why everyone argues so much when they're 18 or 19. You just have more...
More aggression.
Well, but... You also, I feel like when you're younger, you have a fresh charge on your batteries.
Yeah.
Number one, and then you're not so mired in work and family and children and mortgage payments.
Mired.
And stuff
There's
like
not,
that.
Nothing else to just attract your attention, so you keep obsessing and focusing.
Yeah. So here you are. You have a full battery and nothing really to use it on.
And a high level of androgens, a lot of stuff that causes aggression floating around your blood.
Yeah.
Both men and women.
Right. So that makes it volatile. Mm-hmm. You get a little older, you get to the point where we're at where you're just waiting to die.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Can't
That's
wait.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be great. Mason?
Hello?
Mason.
There he is.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Mason's one of those names where you name your son Mason, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You really. That's a ballsy roll there. It could go great, but it could go terribly
south,
bad too.
Yeah.
It's a good chance it's going south.
When it goes great, what's the scientist?
Yeah, Mason. I don't know, maybe a great
an orator or something.
Yeah, he's a great orator.
Yeah.
Just
like Perry Mason.
No, I think that's his last name.
I know, but still it makes you think of that.
Well, why don't you think of Mason Jar? It's right in the beginning.
Okay.
I don't know. Mason is just, you can go south on you.
It sounds like a snowboarding pothead also.
Yeah, it's a ballsy role, Mason is.
Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. My name's Nathan, Nathan. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, that makes it all different.
Oh, all right. Thank God I did 20 minutes on the Mason. Let me tell you about Nathan. All right.
Great hot dogs.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Okay, well, I have a question for Drew.
Just so everyone knows, we're not saying that. It says Mason on the screen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, recently I've gotten really interested in the science of addiction, and since my dad's a doctor, I've been talking to him about going to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at pre-med, and I was wondering, would you suggest any certain majors, while you're doing your pre-med to get you ready for that?
Yes, I would avoid the sciences. Unless you're going to go to a science program like Caltech or MIT where the sciences are so spectacular.
Why would you avoid the sciences?
Because it's your last chance to get a liberal education. And you should take philosophy and political science and history and really round out your education. You'll just repeat all the sciences. You'll get tons of sciences in the pre-med program anyway, and you're going to repeat half of it in medical school as well.
There's nothing you can get out of the way, check off the list?
No, they require a bunch of stuff.
Well, how about this strategy of getting good at something or knowing something before you go in to learn it to give you that edge?
That
was my thing.
No, you mean first doing training in something else.
When I was cleaning carpets at 19, that was my thing. I would get there. I would grab some of the wands in the back of the van, get the feel for them early. Then when we actually got to the Colony Kitchen or the Tony Roma's to do the carpet, I would be, lead wand man. That's me, preparation.
Philosophy for life, of course.
Yeah. That was me.
Lead wand.
Lead wand. Yeah. And then, ironically, wand. Would be on second one. Yeah. But what about learning something? Like, what if you had trouble? What if you weren't good in, statistics or something like that? Should you take it?
I mean, you got to
prepare yourself for these classes.
But you got to get good grades. You can't let me see any bad grades.
Oh, I see. All right.
But and then the real question is, what do you do for your specialty training if you want to go into addiction? Do you do psychiatry or medicine? And that's a tougher question that you'll have to see depending on what you like when you get into training.
All right there, Mason. Nathan. It's hard not to call him what his name is on the screen.
The other thing, Nathan, is just you've got to go to the best college possible.
All right. But let your dad freak you out.
Because that determines what medical school and whether you go to medical school.
Mm-hmm. What are you looking at, buddy? What colleges are you looking at?
Either A&M or OSU right now.
Mm-hmm.
OOC?
OSU.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, Oklahoma State, I think.
You got to look at schools that people put on their academic CV.
Try to find schools where at the beginning of a football game, a longhorn horn cow doesn't go running out on the field.
Right.
A guy in a
gladiator outfit, that's more what you're looking for.
Yeah, you're looking for a guy in a powdered wig with a gavel. You want a couple guys wrangling a longhorn steer.
How about a tree?
Tree'd be nice. Oh, you mean like Stanford? Listen, I got to straighten that Stanford out because they were called a Stanford Cardinal, but Cardinal the color, I think, was
right.
their name.
Not, correct. Not the
Cardinal
bird.
The bird, not Cardinal over there at the Vatican, just Cardinal the color.
Right.
And because it's hard to represent a color in the form of a mascot unless it's offensive, you go with a tree. By the way, difficult to get around in a tree outfit, by the way.
Seen that tree run around?
I have seen the tree run around. It's sort of reminds
pathetic. Me.
Yeah. And if you're high, it'll freak you out because it'll stand still for a while. And then I see it start doing jumping jacks after they score a touchdown. And it's pretty freaky if you smoke out Saturday morning like I do. I'm just saying, think long and hard before you go the mascot route. And if you're just a color, then you have no mascot. Or you know what it is? Whatever Crayola is closest to your school colors out there in that field.
Right.
You do a crossover deal with the Crayola people.
Just have a big crayon come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pay you. Yeah. All right. We got a question for the band. Adam?
Hey.
You're 19?
18.
Hey, you're 18. What's up?
Yeah, I had a question for Rise Against, actually.
Here they are.
All right. Yeah, I've been a big fan of you guys for, years. First show I ever went to was you guys, and you rock. And I was wondering.
He's going way back to 2003, by the way. When he says,
years.
Yeah, so I was wondering, do you guys, see a big difference between, nowadays with the kids that, they know, your old CDs, the Unraveling and Revolutions Per Minute, as opposed to the kids who have just started listening to you now?
Well, I think the audience that's listening to the most current record is a lot broader. I think the core fans always have the Unraveling. So you kind of know the kids that have always been with you the whole time. But that audience is kind of, like I said, I don't know, a little narrow. The Unraveling isn't really the most popular record.
Yeah, you get about 10 kids in the crowd saying, play the Unraveling, please, please. And then everybody else is saying tracks off a new record left and right.
Yeah, but this hasn't come up very much anymore, that whole part, that sellout thing, and then the original, and then we were here first kind of thing. You know what I mean? Where, especially when you're young, you feel like, I was into the band, 6 years ago, and now everyone else is into the band, and they need to realize I was here first.
Right, and now that everyone else is into it, it's been tainted.
Yeah, well, if I'm not being recognized for being
right.
here first.
Right.
I'm hardcore. It's like, me when I discovered Denise Richards in Starship Troopers.
Yes.
I discovered
her. You
should
have your way with her because of that.
Well, I'm not saying she has to have sex with me, but I'm saying I was on to her.
You mentioned
early.
The BJ, though.
I said she was hot, and that was like 98, 97.
I remember
okay?
that.
Okay? And everyone's like, who? And I was like, dude, take my word. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And now they're all like, hey, she's hot. And I'm like, hello?
Well, who actually saw that movie, though? That's the thing.
Hit well, it.
I did.
Yeah,
I did, too. But...
All right. And did you make that proclamation about Denise Richards?
I was about 17 at the time, but I was pretty psyched about it, yeah.
Yeah, you thought she was hot, but I thought she was hotter.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm sort of in front of you.
You win.
Yeah, I'm just...
You did come back and talk about a horrible movie, but there's this chick in it. You made a proclamation.
But that's what I'm saying.
You put a flag in the ground right then.
That's right.
I remember that.
And now, Charlie Sheen is slobbering all over what rightfully is mine.
it's tainted, I told you.
It's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the olden days, if you saw a movie with a hot chick on
it's yours.
Like, if this is, you go back to, 1700s, I mean, we would have been dueling, me and Charlie Sheen right now, because I would consider this a slap in the face. All right.
You need to arm wrestle or something like that.
Something needs to be done. Yeah. And you'll back me up.
Absolutely. I'll be your second.
Right. All right. No, I just mean I need you to testify
that
when
you were,
I'm explaining
I remember that
to everyone
day.
How
oh,
hot
yes.
I thought she was you, when I saw the movie.
You put your flag in the ground.
Right.
Then.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
John.
John?
Yep. Hi.
27?
That's right.
What's yeah.
on? What's going
yeah.
on?
I'm dating this girl that I had actually dated when I was in high school, and we saw each other off and on during college. And I just sort of got back with her about 5 months ago. And it's, like, accelerated because we've had a history, so it's getting pretty serious. But she had been considerably more promiscuous than I had been when we were younger. And mm-hmm. it's just starting to become sort of an issue, just, mm-hmm. like, mainly with me. And I'm trying to see if I can get myself over it. Or,
all right. What is it you have to get over?
Well, you know.
Well, it's just not that, you know, like, I'm sure Adam will agree with me, it's not that cool when you find out, you know, how many people your girl has been with, essentially.
And, how did you find that out, exactly?
Oh, we've talked about it.
You did a little prying.
Why did you pry, John?
Guys do this.
How
well,
many?
No, actually, no, I had always said that, you know, I was the don't ask, don't tell. I was like, look, I'm not that interested. But she had brought it up with me, and she had just
well, she blurted it out. It's a sabotage thing.
It's
exactly. Well, sort of cryptic. You know, she starts talking about it, and then I was like, "Well, if you want to go down that road, let's do it." So
how many? What's the number?
She said she's been with between 50 and 100 guys, but she's probably closer to 50. She did a lot of coke when she was in college.
Mm. All right, so she did a lot of blah. Here's the point. It Drew did a hell of a lot of blow in college, too. He didn't rack up those kind of numbers.
Not quite.
Not till he got the high-grade stuff at medical college did he really start racking those kind of numbers.
But he switched over.
Oh, you switched to the pharmaceutical-grade coke,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Anyway, I thought that's what I said.
Well, I actually just switched over from cocaine to sex. See, that's how it works.
Oh, I see. All right.
That's how it works.
All right, so John.
Yeah.
We have a couple thoughts on this.
Sure.
When I say we, I mean only me. here's now why do we do this? Why do guys get upset about it? Well, some of it is pride,
and
the reasons we get upset about it. But then, like everything in nature, there's sort of reasons. Like in the past, well, she may have a disease.
Right.
Right.
You need to know it to assess your risk and sex. You know, assess the capability of having a stable relationship.
Yeah, most.
And he has found something out here that he's completely ignoring. By the way,
the coke part.
She's a drug addict.
Well,
that's no big deal, though, right?
She did a little blowing.
No, what he's describing is somebody with drug addiction. Now that may be in remission right now, but it's not. It's going to be an issue.
Well, also, John sounds like a pretty straight arrow, and her saying I did the coke was a kind of a way to soften the impact of the, you know, record numbers of guys she slept with.
But the point, whatever it is, it's saying something about her, and it's saying, you know, there's something going on there.
Well,
it's not that she had a lot of partners, it's that she was acting out and was doing drugs.
That's the point. People, most things that we think are just sort of, you know, social taboos or something.
Have a biological basis to them. Almost all.
Almost all of them, if you scratch beneath them, you can find a reason why, you know, nature didn't want you to marry the person that was with 500 people.
Right.
They're probably packing something.
Right.
Or why should they stop with you?
Right.
Right.
And then, and by the way, her blurting it out was more of the chaos.
Yeah, it seems like an attempt at sabotage.
What does she do for a living?
John?
Yep.
All right, so.
What does she do for a living?
Well, she's
nurse.
Going back to school now, actually.
Yeah, ooh. What does she do
she
for a living?
More blow.
She was a research scientist. She's going to be a nurse now.
Drew, did I say nurse?
Yes.
You see the word? I wrote the word nurse down. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, and she has had family problems. I mean, I've known her for a long time, and her family was kind of screwed up and just, like, super religious, and that was totally an acting out. And she knows, I mean, she knows that. I mean, she would tell me all that she was screwed up as a kid, and,
yeah.
You know, she acted out.
All right.
Well, John,
for years, though.
Yeah, you're not just screwed up as a kid and then get over it.
Yeah, exactly.
Without some treatment.
Therapy.
Yeah, it needs a little treatment. All right.
So, John, here's the thing. You don't get engaged yet.
Yeah.
Slow it down a little. Don't let it eat away at you. Like, oh, she's been with twice as many guys or girls or whatever. No. Forget about that part. Look at it from a pure health standpoint. Not physical health, but emotional health.
Right.
Do you want to engage in a long-term relationship with someone who's had some drug problems, who comes from some chaos, who's done a fair amount of acting out? Let's wait till her snow globe settles completely and you know where she's at before you guys start crapping out kids.
And her the sexual history is about compulsive acting out.
Yeah.
It's not about somebody who's horny and going to, you know, somehow stray or can't be trusted. This is a syndrome she was in. And, you know, that's the question.
She's going back to college.
Sure.
Yeah, man, I smelled nurse all over her. Yeah. Something's up. All right.
I didn't get away from him.
Yeah, he's got stuff going on, too. I just take it nice and slow.
It's all right, yeah.
All right. But here's the other thing, too. We got to take a break. But when you come from this kind of chaos, let's face it, you're damaged goods. Let's face it.
You're screwed. You're just dead.
Well,
dead in the water. No relationship for you. No life. No meaningful existence. Pack it in.
No. Here's what you can do. When you come from a lot of chaos, as a guy, you can overcompensate and still become successful and do things and all that kind of stuff. You'll always be living in your private tormented hell, but you can be rich and people can think you're happy. Mm-hmm. Women can be successful, too. But in relationships, it's tough. For both of them, unless they've really done the work. And even if they've done the work, they may not be settled until they're, you know, late 30s, early 40s.
Go read Bill Clinton's biography.
Oh, really?
This is that story.
All right. Who is he? He's the godfather of funk, right? Who is that dude? All right. Is he saying he discovered Denise Richards? Because he didn't.
I bet he's tried.
I swear to God, I don't know who this dude is, but I'll kick his ass as sure as I'll kick Sheen's ass. I discovered her. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Rise Against in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, Joe, and Chris in studio tonight. Who's in tomorrow? Unwritten Law tomorrow night, everyone. Rise Against in studio tonight. We were going to hear a little something else off of Siren Song of the Counterculture. Take one call, hear a song, yes?
Two quickies? Yeah. Here we go.
All right.
Burn them.
Demetria?
Yes.
What's up? You're 22.
I was trying a different method of protection against sex, and I tried something called VCF. It's a
protection against sex? Is like a pepper spray or something?
I like the opposite.
Yeah, you know.
Type of mace.
No, instead of condoms. And it's called VCF, and it's a film you place inside the female. Yeah. And it's supposed to have a spermicide in it, so...
Yeah, spermicides really don't work, okay?
Oh, really?
Not to any degree of reliability.
Is it a film like one of those breath mints that dissolves on your tongue kind of films?
Yeah, it's a film like that. Yeah.
Is it shaped like a fish? Does it move?
Yeah, different colors. No, it's a square 2x2 film, and you fold it and you stick it as close to the cervix as you can. And
it's like rolling a cigarette in your vagina.
And
ouch out.
We
hold on a second. I know we're trying to make it, but what is it? You know the guys who roll a doobie, and it's like they'll be rolling this like
doobie.
Hey, roll that doobie, brada. And the guy will be like rolling the doobie, and then he'll do this one. You know, with the tongue along the. He's just sticking the tongue and dragging along the top part, and then he does the other move where he actually takes the entire doobie, puts it in his mouth, and sucks it off. Like, all right, you want to spark it up? It's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to hit that with a hair dryer and like a moist towelette, and I'm gonna have to run that through the centrifuge over here. Yeah. Like this is, does that right in front? Why don't you shove it up your nose? By the way, wouldn't that do it?
Or wherever?
Yeah, in the ass. Like you have to hold me. Actually, put it all inside. I gotta smoke your bad breath. No, use a sponge. Come on, I know it's not cool. I know it's not straight, but you got done licking the entire thing. Now you gonna do that move? True. Invent something where the guy doesn't have to put the old doobie in his mouth.
Spray bottle.
Something, yeah. Right, what were we talking
Demetria
about?
Demetria and her...
What was her problem?
Her spermicide. Demetria.
Yeah.
Condoms.
Yes.
If you don't use condoms, you've got to use the pill or something like that, some kind of hormonal.
Yeah. We had sex on it, and now it's my boyfriend. Well, he's burning
How long ago was the sex?
Like... We just finished 20 minutes ago.
I would take the morning after pill if I were you.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, now the question's about the boyfriend.
He's got burning?
Yeah, it hurts really bad, and he can't even touch it. It's just shooting pain.
The skin hurts bad, or it hurts where he pees?
Does it hurt? Exactly. He's in the room with me.
So okay.
Where does it... It's in the head. It feels like there's something in him.
Right, it's the urethra's irritated. You can get urethritis from this stuff, and it's gonna. When he waits till he pees, he's gonna enjoy that.
Yeah, but it might not be from this stuff. Probably just be the world class banging he gave you.
Could be that. Could be an STD. Maybe you had a little vaginal infection or something that he's picked up. But he probably is gonna need to see somebody tomorrow if he keeps having lots of fluids tonight, and if he's still burning with peeing tomorrow.
Why lots of fluids? A flush?
Flush it out. Yeah.
Just keep the urine going.
Which is miserable. When you really get that urethritis going, it feels like you're peeing fire.
Is a lot of fluid going through the urethra going to flush it out
perhaps,
or help it?
Perhaps help it.
Really?
Perhaps.
And when you say fluid,
well,
it's water?
If it's a chemical reaction just from the spermicide, then yeah, the fluid, it's the water.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you want water because you want stuff that's going to go through. You don't want stuff that's going to accumulate, like Gatorade. You want water.
Oh, Gatorade will hang out?
Mm.
And then what about like soda or coffee or something?
Fair amount. Well, coffee's good because it's a diuretic. But coffee will irritate the urethra, though, so you don't want to do that.
Mm.
It's water. Water.
All right.
Good questions.
Yeah. Benjamin?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
You don't want to drink beer either. Beer's bad for the urethra.
Too late. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Okay.
Drunk.
Like, me and my girlfriend were both 18, and, like, we were discussing that other night, like, whether we should have sex or whether we should wait until, like, we're older to have sex. And I was just wondering, does it depend on the male or does it depend on the age of the female, whether she has an orgasm or not? Because, like, I know I'm going to have an orgasm when we have sex.
You can count on that.
Yeah, I can count on that. But I want to know if she will.
Does she masturbate?
No.
Has she ever had an orgasm?
I don't know.
All right, she's probably not going to have one. And she's certainly not going to have one with intercourse. That's kind of unusual for that to happen.
Yeah.
At 18, especially first time.
Go in with low expectations, and then if you get anything, it'll be a mitzvah, as Jewish people call it. Benjamin, you're calling from Linwood. You're Jewish, right?
No.
Huh.
Benjamin.
Man.
Dude, I'm black.
You're black?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jewish.
Yeah. You're a black guy, a virgin at 18?
Yeah.
What's up? Come on.
I have morals.
Yeah. That's what I like.
Way to go, Benjamin.
All right. And
how long have you been with your girlfriend?
Huh?
How long have you been with your girlfriend?
For like 3 years now.
Awesome.
Wow.
Good job.
Is it your morals or does she have morals?
I have morals. She tells me about her, so yeah, she does.
All right. So you guys getting ready to have sex. So look, here's the thing. Let me give you some tips. It's usually the brothers that give the ace man the tips.
Of course.
But in this case, I'm going to turn the tables. Lots of oral sex.
When the time comes.
Yeah, when the time comes.
That you do to her, not she to you.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God. Oh, is my face red?
Yeah.
All right. So lots of give her lots of nice oral sex, and then nice and slow. Like here's the whole thing. She ain't you.
Slow and easy.
Here's the thing. You think, well, I'll just do to them what would feel best to me. Like I will do them like I wish they would do me. That's not the way it works.
No.
I haven't given the speech in a while, Drew. Cat and dog.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, good one.
Cat and a dog.
Yes, the difference between
about,
a male and a female.
That's the difference between a cat and a dog. Like, if you think about how you treat a dog when you're giving a dog a little love, roll it over, you know, grab it, you know, pull its ears. I take my dogs, just tick those ears, yank them as hard as I can. Why? Put it over the dog's eyes and start smacking them in the belly. A lot of smacking around and grabbing the paws and running in the air and all that kind of stuff. And beat the crap out of my dog.
Tail's just going crazy.
Tail's smacking around, knocking books off and stuff. not my wife's books. I don't own books. Yeah, but, you know, the point is I'm working that dog. Like, it's, you know what it is? It's like steer roping.
Right.
I come in the house, I get the dog in a headlock, I roll it down, I tie it up, and I do the time thing. So, man, my wife's got the stopwatch.
But
new,
the cat.
New record Monday night, by the way. Yeah. The cat, what do? You can't go bounding after that cat. You sit down, you put the hand out, you know, let the cat sort of come to you, let it get a little curious. Don't go running after it. You'll freak it out. Mm-hmm. Sit down. Let the cat come to you. Then when the cat comes to you, the cat will kind of let you know what it likes.
Where it wants the
small,
pressure.
Yeah, just take the little rhythmic move. Don't shift gears all over the place. Cat needs consistency.
Let's see where the cat pushes up.
Cat will push up a little when it finds something it likes. Your job is to sort of do as little movement as possible, but apply the pressure.
And to respond to the direction.
The direction that the cat is pushing you.
And no fast movements, no sudden changes. That cat's going on top of
write this down.
Cat's going on top of the refrigerator if you move too quickly.
Yeah, freak out. Now, here's the problem. A guy is a dog.
Yeah.
So guy's thinking, like a dog, and guy's thinking, I'm going to give her what I would like.
Why do you think the cat, when dog comes around, what does a cat do?
Run.
Right. Huh? That's right. Slow it down.
Let's do a song.
Let's do a song.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a song.
Meditate on the profundity of what you've just said.
Hey, listen, I will be recognized for my genius.
No doubt.
If I have to force everyone to recognize me for my genius, I will be recognized. You understand? Rise Against in studio tonight. We got second song queued up there, Michelle. This is called Swing Life Away.
Am I loud and clear, or am I breaking up? Am I still your charm, or am I just bad luck? Are we getting closer, or are we just getting more lost? I'll show you mine if you show me yours first. Let's compare scars, I'll tell you whose is worse. Let's unwrite these pages and replace them with our own words. We live on front porches and swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end. I'll cross these streets until you hold my hand. I've been here so long, think that it's time to move. The winter's so cold, summer's over too soon. Let's pack our bags and settle down where palm trees grow. I've got some friends, some that I hardly know. But we've had some times I wouldn't trade for the world. We chase these days down with talks of the places that we will go. We live on front porches and swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end. I won't cross these streets until you hold my hand. Until you hold my hand. I'll show you mine if you show me yours first. Let's compare scars, I'll tell you whose is worse. And let's unwrite these pages and replace them with our own words. We live on front porches and swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end.
Yeah, Rise Against, everybody. I like that song. Very acoustic. Chris, you playing the guitar in that one?
Actually, Tim blessed us with his talents in that song.
Wow. That's humiliating for me. Too bad Tim's not still in here. Oh, well. We'll take a little break. I'm going to recover, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Unwritten Law is in here tomorrow night. Rise Against in here tonight. Chris and Joe representing. And let's take ourselves a call. What do you say?
There we go.
Ready to go? Maria?
Yeah.
You're 15?
No, I'm 16.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I went on birth control for, well, more for myself mostly, but like when I was with my boyfriend or whatever, I was with him for like 5 months. And we broke up 3 weeks ago, and I'm like still on it, but I don't know.
Wait, now hold on a second. Why did you go on the pill in the first place?
For like safety, obviously.
Yeah, but you said you did it for yourself. What did that mean?
Well, I went to Planned Parenthood, and I wanted to like get like all of, I didn't want my parents to know. I didn't want to like go through my parents.
You went on it for contraception. You didn't go on it to regulate your period.
I understand.
No, yeah, well, yeah,
I know it was confusing, but okay. I speak it.
I just want to make sure of that. Okay, go ahead.
And I went and I got, like, all blood tests, and I did, like, all the, like, STD tests and all that stuff. Because he wasn't my first or whatever.
Outstanding.
And, huh? Oh, outstanding. Yeah, I don't have anything.
Excelsior. Yeah. I'm just trying to put it in her her language. You're too old for the teens.
I appreciate it.
Go ahead, Maria.
Is it healthy to be on
You know how they talk.
16?
Yeah.
Is it healthy what?
Is it healthy to be on birth control when you're only 16?
Yes, it's fine. It's much healthier than being pregnant.
Yeah. and, like, I haven't been able to, like, ask my parents or anything, but, we broke up for, like, I don't know why, but we broke up and, like, I, like, loved him, I guess. And he was, like, you know how you say you date your dad?
Yeah.
And hello?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't anything like my parents and stuff, but, like, my family life sucks, so, like, he was, like, the only person I, like, hung out with, and I, like, just hung out with him the most, and he just like dropped me off the face of the earth and stuff. So like I try to turn to my friends and stuff, and my parents like ask me all the time like what I'm doing and like
All right, listen, you're a miserable teenager.
Yeah,
so is everyone who listens to this show and calls the show. Join the club.
What's horrible going on at home? You said it's miserable at home.
Oh, well, my family, they're like
constantly using Morse code.
No.
Contact there.
The radios are crazy because I'm on my cell phone. So, but, my stepdad, like, I'm the only one in the house that my mom had, like, an affair with this guy, and she had me, and so I'm, like, the brown-eyed kid in the house, and I don't really, like, fit with everybody else, so all the pressure's put on me to, like, be better than my
family. All right, listen, I'm going to cheer you up, not by saying your life's not that bad, but just by saying every teenager has a horrible life. Everyone feels uncomfortable and out of place and pressure. And here's what you need to know. You need to know. Here's what all 15, 16, 17-year-olds need to know. The 2 years or year and a half or whatever it is from now to the time it's time for you to leave the nest kind of thing, get a job, go to college, you look at that as an eternity.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's short.
It goes by quickly. And what you do...
Work on that.
Yeah, what you, my own car. I have a job.
Good. Good. Good.
Work on the college part.
English lit major. Whatever you do in this next year and a half is really going to pave the way for you getting out of the house, you doing whatever. If you're not happy in your house, you have a job, you know how to save money, you know how to work hard, now the next move is starting to think about just focusing on school, work, saving more money. Stay. Look, if your stepdad's a pain in the ass or your mom gives you the stink eye, you just stay. You know, when you get around 15, 16, you can stay out off the radar.
Yeah.
You really can. You just come in, eat dinner, go to your room, watch a little TV, rub one out, and then
rub
pow.
One out.
And then pow. You're back to school the next day, and then you play the volleyball team and all that kind of crap. Just, and you hang with your friends. It's tough, but there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is just sort of confront everything.
Right.
Get in everyone's grill, start getting sassy with everyone. Then they start coming down on you, and then you're screwed. Yeah?
Real quick one here.
Jeff?
Yep.
For from
Hollywood.
Jeff, 20, Hollywood. What's up?
Oh, hi. I was calling because my girlfriend, like, 2 weeks ago went to San Francisco, and she met up with a friend of hers, and she comes back telling me, you know, my friend wants to have, like, a threesome. So I'm thinking it's a girl.
Right.
She nice, tells me it's a guy, and I'm just like, what makes her think I would go through with this, you know?
Well, I don't think she probably thought you would. She's probably just saying, to break up.
Have you been pounding on her for quite a while about having a threesome with another girl?
Well, we talked about it, about what it's a girl. But
yeah, but Jeff, have you been at her about it, like constantly bugging her about it?
Sometimes, not all the time.
All right, well, here you go.
Yeah.
It's payback time.
It's a bitch. That's probably what she's doing. It's either A, B, or all of the above.
None of it's
C,
good.
Which is A, I just like to break up with you by bringing up something crazy and getting you to break up with me.
B,
this is a little payback. Quit riding with me. Or C, I'd like to break up and it's payback.
Or
and
C, she's actually into this and is going to sabotage the relationship anyway.
All right. Either way, it's not good. Don't get her pregnant. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. The show, everybody. I'm gonna give that one I'll give a 7.5, maybe 7.7 or something.
Huh? 9, even 7.9. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good show. Yeah, that was that, Chris.
I think so.
Rise Against. I want to thank Tim, Joe, Brandon, and Chris for coming in there. Siren Song of the Counterculture. Remember that and buy it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very
much. And Unwritten Law in here tomorrow night. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Are your sweatpants down around your slippers? Oh, you're making me hot.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.